Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 194, as we record on a Monday evening, November 7th, and like it is snowing. And
snowing. Yeah, it was a blizzard here the other day. Just blowing snow, I guess, but it's cold. Not ready for the snow. I do enjoy it, but yeah, I don't know. We've got a lot the last couple of days.
I already had to shovel today, and I don't know. My wife already set up our Christmas stuff, so I don't know what that means.
Oh, no. It's November, man. You got to give her a fine for that, man. Anything before December 1. Come on.
Yeah, a lot of fines being handed out by husbands. Oh, okay. Well, with the winter talk done, reverse retros, we're starting to see some of them. Did you see that the Philadelphia Flyers are going to wear Cooperalls for warm-ups?
Yeah, for warm-up, I saw that. Yeah,
why don't they wear them for the games? Screw that. Why are they wearing them for warm-ups only? That doesn't make any sense.
That would be an eyesore, I think, for a whole game.
I don't know. More than an eyesore than the Buffalo Sabres jerseys this week?
You see, I wouldn't mind the Buffalo jerseys. Okay, so the jerseys come out, right? And you don't know, like, what the gloves are going to be, what the helmets are going to be, what the pants are going to be, right? And it's like, okay, like, you know, I like the jersey. Okay, if Buffalo is going to go white jersey, white pants, white socks, white gloves, you got to go white helmet. If you go blue helmet, you got to go blue gloves and blue pants. I mean, you can't just have a blue helmet then everything else white. It sticks out like a sore thumb. Well,
white pants, first of all, is the biggest.
I don't mind if you're going white, but you got to go all white. You can't just have a blue helmet then everything else white. That doesn't make sense. But speaking of the reverse retros, after seeing the Ducks are wearing orange pants and orange gloves.
Brutal.
Awesome. I love that. That's great. What colors should they be? Black purple?
Pants. Black pants?
No, there's not black in the jersey. It's green, orange, and purple and white. There ain't no black. How can you have black pants if you don't have black in your jersey?
I don't know.
Makes no sense. Orange is the perfect color. It's great.
Yeah, looks wonderful.
Yeah.
I think most of the reverse retros have been a flop so far.
I love the Canucks jerseys.
I like that one.
Those are amazing.
And I don't know.
Did you see Boston's jerseys today?
They weren't terrible.
Unreal. Did you see what Brad Marchand said?
He probably hates it.
Brad Marchand goes, warm-up interview, he goes, the reporter asked him, hey, Brad, how do you like the jerseys? He goes, these are great. We got a lot of twos on our team, and they're making us look like tens, he said. That was great. That was a good little bite.
EA Sports came out with NHL 23. We talked about it last week. I was interested. I saw a graphic that showed
most popular teams.
Yeah. Were you surprised on some of them?
I mean, it's a younger generation, right? You're going to have your Matthews's.
I wasn't surprised with those. I was surprised seeing Carolina 7th.
Yeah.
I was surprised to still see the shitty Montreal Canadiens in the top 10.
Yeah, but you got young guys like Suzuki and Caulfield. Kids like those players. Like,
no, they don't.
Yes,
that's
they
do. Canadian thing. No, it just means a lot of people in Montreal are playing the game. That's all it means. Right?
Yes.
I don't know. I couldn't believe I saw that 18 million games have been played on that already.
Yeah. It's speaking a popular game up here.
Let's do our weekly Canucks crap segment. Bo Horvat shootout, that was a beauty last night or two nights ago.
Honestly, I fell asleep in the second.
No, you didn't. No, you're lying because you tweeted 1 minute after it. I saw it.
I got caught.
You're lying.
I fell asleep, then woke up.
Yeah, whatever.
I saw the score. So yeah. Jimmy Rutherford had a very interesting interview today on old Sportsnet 650 tonight. I listened to it live and, yeah, Kanakis are open for business is pretty much what he said. So we'll see what happens. Here's the thing. Without Dean and Rutherford, there's no loyalty to any of the players, so really nobody's safe, if we're being honest.
It's a tough time, though, to be open for business. There's not a lot of capital.
It's kind of a really tough time. Crazy how we're not even at the what's it called, American Thanksgiving yet, and this five-game road trip could define the season. It's kind of crazy.
Defined, I think, already.
Not quite. I mean, if they would have won against Nashville, it would have been four wins last five. That's not terrible, right? So
they've been better lately.
They're 3-6-3. I mean, they blew another 3-0 lead in a game that they dominated most of the game. They're not getting saves. I mean, and I'm a big Demko guy. Like I've told you, I think he's a top 10 goalie in the league, and he's just not playing like it right now. So, it is what it is. Good for Bo Horvat. He's sure cashing in on a contract here. I mean, 10 goals, only, McDavid and Erik Karlsson have more. So, we'll see what happens. They go out east for a big road trip. where they're winless. Actually, they have one win in six games on the road. So not ideal.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about NHL teams in trouble, good teams that should not be struggling. And then we'll go around the league, talk about Matthews, Big Tough Binnington, Bieksa, some suspensions, the Red Hot Golden Knights, and the Mitchell Miller saga, all on today's episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, Blake, what team? I got three teams jotted down that are on my good teams in trouble. And surprised kind of that all three of them are there, to be honest with you. And then I wrote down a couple teams that maybe have some slight worries ahead of them. But interesting. Let's start right away. Let's start with the St. Louis Blues, the team in the most trouble, I think.
Yeah, I said that last pod. I think they're in trouble. I was the one that kind of initiated that convo. I mean, they started 3-1. No, they started 3-0 and they've lost the last seven. So, Bennington's lost his last five starts. It's not good. I mean, when you're below, Chicago and Arizona in your division, you're not doing too well, but,
They currently sit dead last in the Central. They have the fifth worst goals allowed per game at 3.89. And the only teams with worse are Arizona, Columbus, Vancouver, and Anaheim. Not teams you want to be associated with.
Yeah. I mean, they're usually a slow starting team as is, but I mean, it is a little concerning that they've lost their last seven, and it's the way they've been losing. I mean, they're getting embarrassed. They're letting seven goals. They allowed seven goals to Montreal. 2 days later, they lost 5-0 to LA. It's just like, it just seems they're just getting blown out in a lot of these games. Binnington's gotten pulled in three of his last five starts. He's lost five in a row. So, do they miss Ville Husso? I think they do. A lot. I mean, they had a really good 1-2 punch last year, and it allowed Binnington to ease in. I kind of know, like, it's such a bad contract right now, and he's just not playing very well. It's tough to see, though, because as a Blues fan, you're like, okay, Binnington played pretty well in the postseason. Maybe you can carry that over to this next season, but it just hasn't happened. He won his first three starts, and then he's just been bad.
It's been a lot more than Binnington, though, on this team, and that's what makes me worry the most, is that...
Well, I mean, did you hear what their GM said?
What part?
Their GM said, you know, we might have to go into rebuild here. I mean, and that would be trading O'Reilly and I mean...
Well, he's moving.
Yeah, but, I mean, playoff contending team, Riley would be a big piece for that. I mean,
who can afford that?
No, I know. They probably have to eat some salary, but I mean...
Like a lot?
No, yeah, but he is also a pending UFA, and it would be prorated, so a deal at the deadline wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was just interesting to see, like, I mean, it is a relatively old core with a couple young players like Kyrou and Thomas mixed in.
Kyrou's really been struggling, too.
Yeah, he's been really bad. Really, really bad. It's really surprising me that he's had this start to his season. I think he has 4 points in 10 games. Four. So, it's too bad because he's a really good player. And they need him. I mean, if Thomas and Braden Shen and Kyrou aren't pretty, like, who else is gonna score for that team? I mean, you got Tarasenko, he's a pending UFA too, so like, you got two players in your top six that are pending UFAs and Tarasenko and O'Reilly, and like, they're probably going to get traded. I mean, probably best for the franchise to trade them both.
You know, the one thing they do have going for, they've only played 9 games.
10. They're 3-7.
Well, they lost tonight, so 10 yeah. Tonight's the 10th
game. Yeah, 7 in a row, yeah.
So, I mean, that's 3 or 4 less than most teams.
No, I know it, there's 72 games left. Like, I understand that, but it's like, you see teams like you can't. It's so hard to dig yourself out of a hole, especially in a division like this where Winnipeg's on fire, Colorado's playing well, Dallas is 8-3, like even like Chicago's 5-5. Like they're six points out of a playoff spot. That's 3 wins. Like it's not a lot when you look at it like that, but I mean, they lose a couple more games, it's a really deep hole.
Pittsburgh Penguins are also another team that's struggling. And one of the things that I find weird about them is in the last 10, they're 2-6-2, losers of their last two. And this team's just been
seven in a row.
They've been sloppy. And no, they haven't lost 7 in a row.
No, they did lose 7 in a row. They went out west. They were 0-4. Then they lost to Seattle again. They did just win, I think they won one or two games, and then they lost the last two. Just let me look here. So they lost to the Kraken, lost to the Sabres, lost to Boston, lost to Seattle again, lost to Vancouver, lost to Calgary, lost to Edmonton. Who did they beat? Columbus. Like they have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've lost like 7 of their last 9.
It's not good. Goals against with allowing 44. Their penalty kill is horrendous, only 73.2%. This team is on the struggle bus, and as much as they have some of the best leaders in the National Hockey League, this team's going to really have to dig deep this year.
Well, and take a look at this. You got Washington coming up. You got Toronto. You're at Montreal back-to-back. Then you go to Toronto. A
good schedule to me.
Listen, yeah, and then you got Minnesota. Then you got Winnipeg. And then you got Calgary. You got Philly. You got Toronto again. Then you got Carolina. It just doesn't slow down right now. You got a couple breaks in there with like
Washington, Chicago. Toronto, and two against Montreal.
Toronto's not a bad team. They're going through a bad stretch right now, but they're not a bad team.
Perfect time to play them, right?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I mean,
yeah, like their organist playing goal.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
They're
in trouble.
They're in trouble. Another team struggling and in trouble too is the Calgary Flames. As the record still is 5-4-2, which is over 500. Statistically, they're not bad really in any category. They've played 9 of 10 games or 9 of 11 now at home, and the struggles come at the top with their top players. They're just not producing, and the defense is getting beat up and injured with Tanev out and Stone now out. Things are not looking good in Calgary.
It's just funny, you know. It's funny when you tweet. I get a kick when you get tweeting about Calgary on the Flames Unfiltered. It's like the sky is not falling here. you could be like the Canucks in 3-6-3. I mean,
I'm not saying the sky's not falling.
I understand.
You've got to develop some consistency.
I understand your frustrations with the line changes. I mean, that would piss me off as a fan. Like, you won five of your first six and then everything was in a blender. I don't understand, but
it was brutal. And I've never been upset with it before, but that is one time I think it's just, I don't know what he was thinking.
It seemed like he didn't like how they played in that Battle of Alberta game, and he wanted to send a message to the players, but like, I don't think it was the right message to send.
Good message.
But
lost us two more losses.
They went back to their old lines, what was it, last game?
Yeah, and then they benched Lucic in the whole third period, which is the smartest thing I've seen all year.
You're a big Lucic fan, though. You like his energy on that fourth line.
On the fourth line? Not on the second line.
I got a question. What is your, like, give me your take on Huberto's start, because this is a little puzzling to me. He's got, what, 5 points in 11 games?
Yeah.
Not an ideal start for a guy that just signed an 8-year deal.
No, but Jonathan Huberto has been a good hockey player his whole career. No,
he's a good hockey player, but like,
who
do you think is the best line mates for him? Like, I'm like thinking of getting him going. Like, I think you should put Kadri with him.
No, you keep Lindholm to Foley with him, and it's fine. You quit being morons all the time.
You don't think Kadri would do good with him?
He might be fine with him, but what does that do to the next line then? He's really good with Mangiapane and Dubé.
Yeah, that is a good line.
What? I don't understand. Like, I watch this hockey all the time, and I feel like there's fans that think there's like some magic elixir that if you just all of a sudden put this guy with this guy, it's 10 goals and you're going to win every game. Are we stupid here?
No, that's not how that works.
Are we stupid? We've had the most turnover in the top six of any team in the National Hockey League, and it takes some time.
Yeah, for sure. But
shut up.
But the putting the lines in the blender after winning five of your first six, I mean,
wasn't smart.
Not good.
No,
it's just like their first six games. Like, holy shit! Like, Calgary might not lose 10 games this year. It's like they were that good, and then the last like six has been, it's just been like, holy shit, like what happened here? But Calgary's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Calgary. I still think they're the best team in the West. They're not playing like it right now, which that would be frustrating to be a fan, but that is the last team I'm worried about for these bad starts. They'll be fine.
Couple teams on the worry list. I put six of them. Toronto, I wrote, just soft culture. There's an arrogance. This team thinks that they're owed wins because of their talent. And I don't think that's a recipe for success long term.
Yeah, their Samsonov goes down. Now they got to throw Shalgren into the starting role, and you can argue that he's not even an NHL backup. So he's going to be relied on heavily, so we'll see how he does. They just signed an AHL guy who was a college standout from a few years ago to an NHL contract. He's going to back him up. Don't ask me how to pronounce his name, because I don't know. So it's interesting because, I mean, in a market like that, they don't have a – like, we could have told you at the start of the year that this could happen. I mean, Matt Murray's an injury-prone guy. Samsonov, he's had his injuries here and there, but – There's just no depth at that position. There's just none. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game. And I mean, Toronto's forwards need to step up here. Like, you need Matthews to step up and start scoring. Nylander, Marner, like, it's gotta be all hands on deck. I mean, or else they're going to be in trouble here, because Samsonov looks like it's more than a short-term injury, but not a long-term, somewhere in the middle there. Matt Murray might come back in a couple weeks, but it's like, what the hell is he going to be when he comes back? Like, I don't know. Like,
I'll give you my prediction.
They figure, so they might have to make a move to get a depth goalie or something. I don't know.
We'll quickly go through these remaining five. Edmonton, I'm not questioning their offense, and actually not even.
I'm going to talk about Campbell in my three questions. That's one of my
So we'll talk about that. Skip that over and talk about that in the three questions. But I also put Colorado down just because their depth scoring is non-existent right now. That's what I wrote. Minnesota is dealing with a ton of injuries up front. Almost everybody that's a big body up front for Minnesota is injured. Another team with injury problems is Washington. They have $35 million in salaries wrapped up on injury reserve right now, and they're not burying it like Vegas is. They're truly guys that are injured. The last team I wrote is Florida, and this team's struggling on the power play big time.
Yeah, it's for a team that's been historically good on the power play, it's really odd to see them struggle like this. But I wouldn't worry too much about Florida. They got a lot of talent there. Their back end doesn't look good on paper. It doesn't look good. Ekblad's out long term.
Yeah.
It's
so hard when you're missing that key defenseman. It really
is. I mean, any key defenseman, like, you're missing a Quinn Hughes from your life, you're missing an Ekblad. Like, it's a huge deal. Like, those guys are just hard to replace.
Time to go around the league. All right, time to go around the league. Lots of good things.
Before we go around the league, can we talk about New Jersey for a sec?
Sure. What about it?
Like, we need to show them some love. We shit on New Jersey every year.
We featured them last week.
Was before they went and swept Western Canada.
It was in the middle of that.
Okay, yeah, that was after the Vancouver game. Yeah, it was right before the Vancouver game.
They throttled the Liberty.
And then they beat Edmonton, and then they beat Calgary. So It's just, like, they're 9-3. They're just playing a style that just takes me back to the early 2000s.
What are you looking for, a new favorite team, Blake?
No, but they're a fun team to watch. They outshoot most of their teams. They don't allow more than 25 shots a night. For a team that, and a fan base that wanted Lindy Ruff fired, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit here.
That tells you how intelligent that fan base is.
Oh, I know. But they did lose their first three games in a row. I mean, and then that Jesper Bratt quote comes out and says, "Hey, this is a must win game four." It's like, okay, seriously.
And they lost that game too, by the way.
No, they won that game.
Did they win that one?
That was the start of their 6-game winning streak. So
let me do this. We featured them along with Philadelphia last week, and we gave them love. I'm not giving them any love until at least American Thanksgiving.
What do they need to do to earn your trust?
Be high up in the standings come November 25th.
Because the way they're playing, and all that 12 games, it's been consistent. Like, they outshoot their opponent. Their power play is good. They limit shots. The high danger chances are way down. Like, analytically, this team looks like they can sustain this. I don't know if they will. They're getting good goaltending too. Blackwood's out. Vanacek's done a pretty good job, but
he's done a really good job.
It's surprising me a lot. Like, I didn't expect this at all.
Well, no, neither did I. But I'm still not. I'm just, give me some time.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen teams go on slides.
Talk to you on Christmas about them.
No. Talk to me on Thanksgiving. Austin Matthews. I want to talk about Austin Matthews. He goes and slashes Travis Konechny multiple times.
Cross-checked him.
Whatever. Hit him with a stick.
Yeah.
Konechny engages, goes after him, and as they come around the corner, he freaking spears Konechny in the balls.
I don't know. He gave him a whack.
So let me ask you this. So then just at that point, Konechny loses it and drops his gloves and goes after him for no reason? No, he speared him.
I'll have to go back and watch it again.
He speared him. And if it was any other player, he'd get suspended for it. But because he's Austin Matthews, nope, free pass from the league.
Okay, I'm not even upset about that. I like that Matthews engaged and you don't see him do that, but.
Engaged? What? With
no, no. Like pushing back, you don't really see Matthews have that much bite to him. Hold on, timeout. So he gauges, cross checks, the slash. I like that. Like, Matthews needs to play with a little bit more edge. It's the smiling and skating away and standing there while your teammates just get into a scrum. It's like, I don't like that.
The goalie gets tough and he bails out to the side back door with his little smart ass remarks.
He needs Giordano to jump in and then he needs Bunting to jump in. It's just like, he started that whole scrum and then he just stood there.
I'm going to tell you something. What he did there reminded me of the night that Tkachuk started the big brouhaha.
With Kassian?
No. With Muzzin. Muzzin flipped the puck at him.
Mm.
And then his teammates, after the 50th time Tkachuk did that, said, fuck this, I'm not going to defend this little pile of shit.
Yeah.
And
Tkachuk about Calgary didn't defend him.
That's going to happen in Toronto. Because after a while of having to go to bat.
It gets old.
Gets old, and it gets old in the locker room real quick. You know what I love the most about the whole thing was what John Tortorella said. His quote was, what do you want me to say? It's classless. He's got no respect for the game. He'd probably ask for $1 million to block a single shot.
I think that's a fake quote.
Well, whatever. That's
got to be a fake quote. There's no way Torts would say that. I don't think he would do that.
I guarantee he thought that.
I think you fell for a fake quote there, Mr. Bruce.
Probably.
But the quote that he said about Keith was real. I mean, he said he's a good coach and
with crappy players.
Well, he hopes he sticks it to him. But
no, I'm frustrated with this one. I'm frustrated with what Austin Matthews did. And how he
if Matthews like everyone's like, oh my god, Matthews shouldn't be fighting. Crosby's gotten the fights. A lot of stars have gotten the fights.
Do you want
your stars fighting? No, but there's a time and place for it.
Then don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. He's always in the mix.
You know the thing is, you know everybody calls Crosby a big baby and stuff, but you know what, Crosby, if he does little slashes and stuff, he's right in there.
Oh yeah.
Himself.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. He's not out the back door making faces.
No.
Right? That's why he has a respect of his team.
He has six fights. No.
It's things like that though that Matthews does that's gonna make him lose respect from his teammates.
I'm with you.
Bennington, another guy that's losing respect every single day. I don't really even understand what he's doing.
What's up with him getting pulled and then just like showing up the other team? It's like, buddy, you just got yanked. What are you doing?
He like throws his shoulder into Sorokin. And you know what? When I saw it, it wasn't a big deal, right? And I even thought about it later. I'm like, do I even want to talk about this on the show? But I'm like, I do because of this.
He does it.
How many times is he going to do this before somebody says enough and rips his mask off and beats the living shit out of him?
So he had the Kadri shit last year. Where he swung a stick at him.
He went after Dubnyk.
He went after Dubnyk. He went after Sorokin. There was another instance with San Jose where he banged the glass. Like, I don't know, man. It's
weird, isn't it?
It is. I mean, goalies are a little weird, but.
But I don't even think, here's the deal. Like, okay, if Mike Smith did this, I'd be like, all right, well, at least he can back his shit.
He's a hothead too.
Yeah, but he can throw him with the best, right?
Yeah. Well, we've only seen that once.
We've seen it more than once. His Arizona days, he did it a couple times. But I'm sorry. I think if most players or goalies grab Binnington, like Binnington looks like an easy ass kicking is what he looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kevin Bieksa, your thoughts on that day? I figured you'd want to talk about this, so let's.
It's something that Canucks have never done before, one day contract stuff, which it's really cool. He's a classy guy, team first guy, huge in the room, huge in the community. For him to retire as a Canuck is really cool. He's one of my favorite players growing up. And you can just tell, like, just the way that he addressed the players and how all players were eyes locked on him and listening to that and how he talked about the culture and how they're, the Canucks culture isn't very good right now, and that's something that he talked about. And how you build that culture, because what they had, what the Canucks had when Bjork was there was amazing. I mean, they won a lot of games and had a lot of success. And I think he's got a coach in his future days. Just the way I think he does. I think 10 years down the road, just the leadership that he has and the knowledge of the game, I think he could be a coach one day. I'm not saying in the NHL.
Not saying in the NHL,
but like his transition from his playing days to the broadcast has been flawless for him.
Blake, let me just throw this in there. I hated Kevin Bieksa when he played. I respect how he played.
Yeah, you'd love to have him on your team though. Hate to play against him.
I love having him on Hockey Night in Canada. I think he's one of the best on Hockey Night in Canada. There's no way he's leaving that to go coach a minor
league. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like if he wants to, I think it would be there for him.
No NHL general manager is hiring Kevin Bieksa with no coaching experience to coach an NHL team.
Okay, hold on. What about an assistant coach? Alex Burrows went on their bench.
Are you leaving the main spot in Hockey Night in Canada to be an assistant coach in the NHL? I'm not. They get fired every other year. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's been really good. It was just really cool. I mean, just first class from the Canucks, everything.
I hate one day contracts. I thought it was cool. If I was the Canucks general manager, I'd have signed him for the rest of the year because he's the best defenseman.
He went out on the morning skate and I was like, boy, is he going to play tonight?
Probably should have.
Hey, they actually won that game. Yeah. Followed it up with blowing a 3-0 lead in Hockey Night in Canada. Oh, how about this though? We forgot to talk about this. So, Bo Horvat, after he screws up in the shootout, eh? Right. First thing they show him in after hours is the shootout clip. It's like, holy, like let the guy breathe for a second here, boys.
God, that was brutal. A couple suspensions this week. Josh Anderson receives a game misconduct for hitting Alex Pietrangelo. What did you think of that?
It's a dangerous hit.
It was a dangerous hit. I thought he got his punishment, though. He had like four.
Yeah, four guys jumped on him.
A second.
But it's like, I've had this stance in the pod before. It's like, I hate when guys turn their back the last second.
I think it should be a penalty.
It's just like,
I think it should be a penalty.
You're just asking to get drilled in. If Pietrangelo stays sideways, he gets hit shoulder to shoulder. It's not even a penalty. It's a hard hit. He turns his back and all of a sudden it's a dangerous hit. It's like, why do you even put yourself in that position? The fact that he got a five is, I don't know. It's just like, there's just a fine line. It's just like, why are you so dumb and turn your back? Like, I don't get it.
Trying to draw a penalty.
Here, I'm going to turn my bat here. Hit me in the back. Yeah, what do we need? Do we need a stop sign on the jerseys or something?
No, like, we need to call penalties for it. I don't know what you need to do to fix it. Call penalties.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Matthew Tkachuk had suspended 2 games for high-sticking Jonathan Quick. Now, I watched this live.
Before the podcast, I watched the replay. I didn't even see him slash him.
It was during the play. And he had like a Kings player between him. And his stick went into the eye hole of Jonathan Quick.
I don't think he was looking at Quick.
He wasn't. I don't understand. Okay, Matthew Tkachuk got suspended for having his stick go in the eye hole of Jonathan Quick, which there's no way in hell.
He meant to do that. There's no way.
There's no way he could have done that. Even if he wanted to do that, there's no way he could have done that.
You would have to guide your stick in there. It's gotta go almost perfectly in there to fit. I don't get it. I watched it back like 6 times. I'm like, how is this guy getting suspended for this?
I couldn't believe it.
Maybe it's his track record and.
Oh, sure it is.
But like, I don't know, man. It's just like, that gets suspended, but an egregious hit. Oh, we're just going to give him a fine. It's like, what?
What? I couldn't believe it, but you know, I got a text here and this guy's pissed off at you, Blake, because.
Me?
Because you're giving New Jersey a bunch of love and he says, what about Vegas? They're 7 wins in a row. They're 11-2.
I don't know. making me look dumb.
That is a surprise though, isn't it?
We should have expected this. They have no NHL goalies and then they're just going to reel off 11 in a row. I don't know.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Sadly though, I do think it's sustainable actually. I do.
See how that goaltending holds up. They're getting a lot of goals.
Let's end this segment with probably the most controversial thing of the week is Boston signs Mitchell Miller to a 3-year entry-level contract, gets a bunch of heat for it, and then reneges on it, which they're going to end up having to pay it on Sunday to save face, which Mitchell Miller was a player that was drafted by the Arizona Coyotes.
Fourth-round pick.
Relinquished.
To North Dakota.
And
draft pick reneged and his scholarship lost.
When he was 14 years old, he did some terrible things with bullying. Bullying another fellow classmate that had some disabilities and just a whole bunch of horrible things. Lots has happened since then. Not all good either. But the fact... Okay, the team, supposedly the Boston team was, players were freaking out about it. I believe the players that spoke. I don't believe the media reports that every single player was upset because I think that's ludicrous. They don't even know the guy. Then Bettman says that he can't play because he's ineligible, which to me screams absolute lawsuit because I've never seen a hearing date. I want to know who signed off on his ineligibility, and I want to know when that happened and the date that happened. There is going to be a lawsuit. If there's not, it's going to blow my mind because I don't know. Here's one of the things that I thought was interesting. So Shane Gentile of Sportsnet put out, this is pro sports. There is a level of morale bankruptcy at playing here. He is a really good player and he can help the Boston Bruins so they don't care. This is horrendous showing all around, terrible showing for Don Sweeney today. And then Elliot Friedman said that the kid deserves another chance for something he did when he was 14 years old. I saw tweets from people saying that the Bruins signed Jeffrey Dahmer to an entry-level contract. I saw idiocy all over Twitter just like that. I think there's two sides to this story. And Blake and I went back and forth on this quite a bit. But to me, it's absolutely astonishing that this kid's going to get blackballed for the rest of his life for something he did when he was 14, whether it was right or wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the road we're going down in today's day and age. Because if that's the case, for all the hazing incidents that have happened in hockey, there should be a hell of a lot of players never playing a game ever again in this league that are suiting up tonight.
Yeah.
What, you're not commenting now about this?
I don't know. It's just like I believe in second chances. I think that people should get second chances. It's just like I just don't know all of the facts to this.
Served his time. He was convicted of this and served his time.
I don't know. It's just like what he did was so messed up though.
Yeah, it was. But you know what? Semyon Varlamov in 2013 was arrested for domestic violence, second degree kidnapping, and third degree assault. And he's playing. He's on a roster, suited up, ready to roll. All good. Kidnapping.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the NHL and the NHLPA, because apparently they're not happy about this, the PA. So we'll see what happens.
There's
got to be more clarification here.
The NHL is going to get sued, and they're going to lose.
Let's see. I don't know.
There's
a lot of moving parts to this, though.
The
Bruins, it was very telling that the Bruins players that spoke about the culture and they don't want that in the locker room and they don't like that stuff.
That's fine. But the players don't make that decision.
Oh, they did. They 100% did because Is it ironic that after the players spoke about how they don't want that in the locker room, the day after he was gone, you don't think the players had a say in that?
Probably a slight.
They had a huge say in that.
So, okay, let me ask you this question. When are we in society drawing the line now? When are we drawing the line? And why are we doing it for some sports but not others? We have rapists playing in the National Football League. It's all okay. It's all good. It's all good. Evander Kane, beacon in the community. When Edmonton signed him last year, everybody was like, "Oh, we wouldn't give him a chance. We wouldn't give him a chance." Edmonton did.
He got off on all that stuff.
Because he paid it off, right? That's okay then.
The gambling stuff is
Mitchell Miller threw $1 million at his victim. It's all good then, right? Is that the society we're living in?
No, that's not what I said.
No, I didn't say you said it. I didn't say you said it. But that's what society is teaching us now. I'm not condoning at all what he did. I think it's horrendous. I think it's absolutely absurd what he did. But the fact that we're going to all of a sudden now going to start pigeonhole 14-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Really? This is what we're going to do in society?
It's a tough situation for everybody involved. I don't know.
It's a joke. It's a joke. So we let people kill people in this country and we let them out of jail. People rape and molest kids every day. And some of them don't even go to jail. And we're okay with that in society. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know where this goes. I think what he did is disgusting, but the fact that he's being blackballed for the rest of his life, is even more disgusting.
It's time for three questions.
It is time for three questions. Last week, I fired three questions at Blake. His turn this week, fire away.
So we talked about Erik Karlsson last week a little bit, but he follows it up with a 4-point game, a hat trick. I mean, is it good for the game when Erik Karlsson's playing at his best? And what do you make of his start to the year?
It's great. I don't think anybody ever wanted him to be bad. Did we? It was painful to watch him last
year. But like, are you surprised that like after like three down years that he's kind of like regained his Ottawa form?
You know, has he though?
I mean, he's got 10 goals, Brad.
I know, but you know what? I also look at defense a little bit differently though. I don't just look at goals on defense.
But he's an offensive guy though.
But he's still his job. He's not a winger though. His job is still to defend. Yeah,
nah, for sure.
Right? And I'm not questioning how he's played defensively this year, because quite honestly, I haven't really watched a lot of Sharks games, and I'm honest with that because they're very low on my totem pole of teams to watch. I don't know. I mean, he's going to get all the chances in the world there because they pay him a shit ton and there's nobody else good on the back end. So he's going to get all the minutes. I don't know. I think it's good for the game. I've always liked Erik Karlsson. I remember watching him, I think it was probably like 6 years ago, whatever year Ottawa made that run. And I remember thinking, I don't know that I've seen a defenseman this dominating before.
Yeah.
In my life watching sports, you know, he was that integral to that team and he took games over. So I'm happy to see it, to be honest with you. Plus, okay, the Sharks deserve a break on one of their shitty contracts, right?
So, which rookie has surprised you the most early in this season?
I don't know. Surprise me? I don't know. I mean, I think that watching-wise, I've liked what I've seen from Shane Pinto. I think he's an exciting player to watch. The guy that's probably, the guy that like, I'm like, holy crap, he's like running this game is Matty Berniers. He's been extremely, extremely good. So he's probably the guy that surprised me the most on just sheer NHL readiness. I think he's the class of the
group. Kuzmenko's a little older than all the rookies, but I mean, he's point a game first year in the league. So
he's older than them.
So. Yeah, no, I get he's a little older, but, he's been good. Okay, so let's get to, Jack Campbell.
He's gotta get his Canucks thing.
No, let's get to Jack Campbell here because his comments was very interesting in how he said that he's been pathetic and bad and he owns it. He did it a lot in Toronto. He owned it a lot in Toronto and then with the media and he just hasn't looked good. I mean, this is the first year of a 5x5 and Stuart Skinner's out playing him in year one of his 5-year contract. Like, this has goalie controversy written all over and it's not good. It's not good.
Okay, let me give you my two cents on this. Well, I don't even know what your question is, but
what's your thought on Jack Campbell's start?
Well,
and his comments.
His comments are what I would expect from a hockey player. I always hold hockey players to a higher level than other sports because they're honest and they're one of the few sports that players actually own up and don't point fingers at other players. And I expected that from Jack Campbell because we saw it in Toronto. And I think he's a good goalie and I think he will be fine. He's been atrocious this year. He's got a .874. He's let in shots that I'm like head scratchers.
I think one goal went through his glove against Dallas.
I know. I thought it went through his glove too. But there's just been a lot of head scratchers, right? The good thing if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan is this. Stuart Skinner's been pretty darn good. I see they lost tonight 5-4 and, Skinner was in
net. Oh, they did lose that game?
Yeah.
Who started?
Skinner.
Oh.
So, I mean, the good news is prior to this Washington game tonight, Skinner's goals or save percentage was .944 and he's been really, really good. So you can look at this as a goaltender controversy or you can look at this as, hey, this guy's struggling. This other guy's playing well. Let's ride him. And then hopefully by the time he shakes a little bit, Campbell will be ready to step back into his form.
But like that can't be good for your confidence for Stewart to be starting more games.
I don't care about that. These guys are professional athletes. So he's going to ruin the rest of his career because he's upset about the way he's playing in one 10 days.
No, and you hope if you're an Oilers fan that they push each other. I mean, that's the ultimate goal here.
Right. And you know what? I think Oilers fans need to shut up about him being crappy. And I think Calgary fans need to shut up about Jonathan Huberdeau being crappy. You know what? Stuff happens. Matty Barzell in New York doesn't have a goal this year. He's got 12 assists, but he does not have a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're going to say Matt Barzell's a shitty hockey player now?
No.
Come on. Things cycle. I mean, the first two games of the year, they were ready to hang Bo Horvat from the ceiling in GM plays, weren't they? They were, weren't they?
Yeah, please. What is this, 2004? Come on.
Well, whatever. I hate these stupid
10-year deal for Rogers Arena. Come on.
Whatever. Everything's Rogers in Canada. They own the whole damn country. But we're all guilty of it. But I hate the world's coming to an end. This guy sucks. Mentality that our society has. I mean, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, you just be goddamn thankful that you have Skinner and not Koskinen, right?
Yeah.
I think you got to look at it and be happy.
Yeah.
Okay, listener question. This one's geared, I think, towards you. Bo Horvat has been red hot as of late. He is on pace for a career high season in goals. Do you trade or re-sign him?
We talked about this, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Well, we didn't talk about what would you do at this point. And right now he's got 10 goals in his first 12 games. That's a pace of 68. Obviously, we know that's not going to happen. His career high is only 31 goals. But this guy's been red hot.
Yeah, and a lot of those goals are on the power play, so that's something to keep an eye on. I think 7 of his 10 are on the power play, so he's not like he hasn't been much of a 5-on-5 scorer. He makes his money in that bumper spot on the power play with Pettersson and Miller feeding him the puck like Kadri did in Colorado, right? He just lived in that little bubble area and bumper area, I trade him. I would trade him. They need to fix their back end. Trade him, get some assets, and reallocate the money that you're going to give to Horvat. and use it on the back end. I mean, Jim Rutherford said today that they're going to have to take some steps back to take some steps forward and to improve, and they got to get their defense in order. And I think trading Horvat, listen, he's one of my favorite players, but this is the best move for the team to trade him, because if he continues this and the deadline comes around, there is going to be teams lining up to get Bo Horvat at the deadline. Colorado, you can get Newhook, maybe a defenseman and a pick. Like,
you're not getting Newhook.
Well, I think Colorado would do it.
No, because they can't afford to sign him after this. They're not giving Newhook up.
Okay, so what's more important, Newhook for the future or a elite two-way center for the cup run? What's more important?
Newhook, he's fine. Oh, he was great on their run last year.
Come on.
He was great on their run. That's a bad example.
Horvat plays Kadri, though.
It's a bad example.
No.
It's a bad example.
Okay, but I'm saying there's going to be teams lining up to get Horvat, and it would be best for the Canucks to trade him.
You need a freaking defense.
I know, but I'm saying if you get the best assets you can, regardless of position, and you use that money. Hold on. What do you mean no? So you're like, telling me,
just
telling
when, me. I was just gonna praise you for, I think what you said about trading him was the smartest thing you've maybe said this year.
Hey, I think listen, is a though, great idea. Listen, but you get the best package. You get the best package that you get, regardless of position. Yeah. Would it be great to get a top defensive prospect for Horvat? Yeah, it would, but you get the best package. Should they have traded Miller? Maybe. I don't know. They kind of had to sign him. They kind of had to. He just came off a 100-point season. But they cannot keep doubling, tripling down on this core. They signed Miller. They signed Brock Besser. This core, as much as I love the core, it's not working. So you need to try something different. You need to try something different. And trading Bo Horvat would be a message to the fans that, hey, we're going to try something different here. We're going to go in a different direction, and they need to work on the D, because they got a good goalie. They need to work on their defense, and the rest will take off. They need to get rid of Myers. They honestly, they might need to bite the bullet and buy out OEL. Seriously.
That will not happen.
Why not?
Your ownership group's not doing it.
Why not? Why not? Yeah. If you can sell to the owner, this is the best move. This is the best way to give us cap flexibility moving forward. I think the owner would be like, all right, let's go. Let's do it.
You just did it 2 years ago, Blake. You just did that deal 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. And it set the team back 5 years, Brad.
That's the life you live, man.
It is what it is. But I think they trade Horvat. I think it would be best for the team.
I agree. And I think that's the most logical Canucks thing you've said in the last 2 years. I think you're right. As hard as that would be to do,
yeah,
I think it is the right decision. And I know you're not getting Alex Newhook, but you'll probably get a halfway decent package. But you got to remember, who you're trading with is probably a contender, and they're not going to give you good roster players.
Yeah, but
you trade to a contender. Now, if you trade to a non-contender, you might be able to weasel a good defenseman out if Horvat signs there.
Yeah. Like, but they need like a, they need,
and getting a good player back.
They need like a Noah Dobson type D-man.
I don't think you're going to get that for Bo Horvat. As much as
I'm saying in general.
Yeah. Well,
they need a right-handed D-man.
I don't think you're getting that. I think the only way the Canucks get that is if you draft it and
raise. The thing that frustrates me also is like, why this team doesn't play Jack Rathbone? I don't get it. Why are they playing Riley Stillman over a puck moving fast D-man and Rathbone? Like, I don't get it at all. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But guy's 21 years old. He can skate like Quinn Hughes, and how bad the D is? He doesn't make the team?
But Blake, Quinn Hughes has been a little bit of a defensive liability for you too.
Not really. He's been a lot better since his rookie season. His defensive game has grown a lot.
I saw a couple beauties earlier this year.
No, yeah, I know, and he's struggled a little bit this year. He struggled. He has. but I think his defensive game has grown. You've got
to build your defense around, I think. I love him. I think he's a good offensive, but I don't think you need a good, strong stay-at-home. Fuck, you need a Chris Tanev.
That would have been nice. They had a Chris Tanev. I know.
I know. But that's the guy you need so that Quinn Hughes can feed off of that stay-at-home presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about all these defensemen, and you, as much as I think Bo Horvat's good, I don't think you're getting a guy like that. It's just such a hard.
Yeah.
You just won't give him up. Maybe you could Dougie Hamilton, maybe, huh?
No, stop. Yeah, we're going a little too long here. We need to end the show.
Oh, man. You just don't want to talk about Dougie Hamilton. He'd be good for you. He was real good in Calgary, right? Yeah. Get on over to debatehockey.com for all the past episodes. Tell your friend about a show. We appreciate everybody's support. We're back again next Monday night talking hockey again. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Hockey talk every week. Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at debatehockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.